Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Good morning. Merry Christmas. Try that one more time. Good morning. Merry Christmas. Yep, today's the day many of us have been waiting for. We've heard the Christmas carols and music about Santa Claus on the radio for at least a month now, some of us longer. And those of us who have already opened our gifts are looking forward to using them or wearing them or exchanging them. And those who have yet to open are worrying and praying that everyone will like what you got them. But don't worry, I can assure you that my family loves exactly what I got them. Right? That's what I thought, yeah. So let us begin the story of our Lord incarnate, the arrival of the Prince of Peace in the little, quiet town of Bethlehem with utter chaos. This unrest I'm speaking of involves everything from corruption, bloodshed, adultery, dishonesty, greed, and, as you'd expect, war. "The end is near," cried the people of Jerusalem and Judea. "Raise the horn, sound the trumpet, take up arms, prepare for battle." This was the mindset of many Jewish people who were awaiting the advent of their Messiah just before and during Christ's ministry. And in this context of Jerusalem and its surrounding countryside, Greek and Roman influence had infiltrated literally every aspect of Jewish society. Even the temple, which had been rebuilt and consecrated a few centuries before, was once again defiled. Though the Jewish faith endured great persecution under both Greek and Roman rule, and though the Jews would eventually be allowed to practice their faith and worship customs following these trials, the Romans still held control over the Jewish leaders. In fact, the Roman leaders were even allowed to appoint priests and other head Jewish religious figures. This was against the law of Moses. Even the great Hebrew king, Herod, would serve as a puppet king under the Roman rule. Talk about corruption in a time like this. So as a result, several prominent Jewish groups came about. One of these groups was called the Essenes. They wanted to get out of Jerusalem away from all of this corruption and conflict. They thought that the age of the world was coming to an end based on everything happening in society, the Roman influence, and everything that was being secularized. They saw that the end would be a war between the exiled, the righteous sons of Israel, that is them, and the unclean, adulterous people in Jerusalem, which would take place before their two messiahs, a priestly messiah and a warrior messiah, would appear. Another group was called the Zealots, who were found across Jerusalem and the Judean countryside. Zealous for their Jewish faith, they believed that the Messiah would be a strong warrior who would enter Jerusalem and overthrow all the Roman power within. They were known for attacking Romans and any of their sympathizers in order to purify Jerusalem of these Roman rulers, particularly in reaction to both the oppressions by past Greek and Roman rulers and also by the census issued by Caesar Augustus for the province of Judea. These ideas led to a lot of bloodshed and caused a number of false messiahs to appear. This created mass confusion. It discouraged and instilled fear into the hearts of Israel. Disillusion overtook all of Judea. Was there really a messiah to come, thought the Jewish people. How much longer must we wait? O Lord, save your people. In the beginning was the Word, writes the evangelist, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. These first three verses of John's Gospel reflect the first chapter of Genesis, an account of creation. But rather than focusing on creation itself, he focuses on the Word, God's Word, in which all that was created was made through it. This is to show how this Word was present both before and after creation. But to see how this Word was not merely something which came from the divine, but was divine in itself, John tells us that the Word was God. It is this very Word in which we find in the manger in Bethlehem. And in this manger lies the light of men which shines into the darkness. And this darkness which John speaks of is not that of the unclean sons of darkness living in ruin in Judea as believed by the Essenes, but rather the darkness of sin, of chaos, of the confusion which bewildered both the sons of Israel and the world. Yet this light, the incarnate Word of God, shines into the darkness of sin and bewilderment, neither of which could understand nor overcome this light. So we can see how this light entered into the first century context. The end was certainly near. A powerful ruler was indeed coming. Yet he was anything unlike what the world was expecting. This little one in the manger came into his own, yet his own did not know him. Rather than descending from heaven with legions of angels to overthrow the darkness and bring the kingdom of heaven into the world, this Word, this Son of God, was born in a lowly manger among animals in a seemingly insignificant town called Bethlehem. It is this unexpected place where Israel and the world was to find their true peace. The King is there. He is calling his people Israel to take refuge in him, to follow the true Messiah and see all that he would do for them, yet they wouldn't accept him. So when we think of something peaceful, what usually comes to mind? Do we think of maybe a nice, you know, house in a quiet suburban neighborhood where there's a nice freshly cut lawn, a beautiful garden out front, maybe one or two cars sitting in the driveway? Or maybe peace comes to us in something more internal. Maybe it's nice, quiet Christmas music in the background as we're making a puzzle with our families, or sitting on a couch, reading a book, listening to Christmas music by a fireplace, drinking coffee. That's personally one I kind of like. But see, you know what? We as a church would know better, right? Unlike the Jews in Jesus' day, we would never cling to those moments of peace as something to hope in. We would have run straight to the Messiah at his birth and worshiped him, putting aside all of our belongings and blessings and all of our fears, right? Oh, but how easily do the troubles of this world overcome us? The media and the voices in our society continually discourage us by reminding us of threats to our own lives as we know them. We are shaken when terrorist attacks happen on our own soil. We are disheartened when our faith is persecuted and attacked by people who don't know the love of Christ. Our worlds are shattered at the sudden loss of people and objects which would otherwise bring us so much joy, if only but for a moment. And all of these occurrences can attempt to, and sometimes succeed at, pulling us away from our Savior. They create chaos in us. They lead us to look for other means apart from Christ at saving ourselves, be it our own surroundings and possessions. But brothers and sisters in Christ, take heart, for your King is here this morning, lying in a manger in Bethlehem. Amidst all of the fear of uncertainty this world gives, amidst all of the war and rumors of war, peace himself, which surpasses all understanding, is born. He is here to accomplish what we could not and take on the troubles of on himself, so that we need not to worry about what tomorrow brings. Your Lord is here now to take away your pain. Unlike all of those moments and experiences of peace we mentioned earlier, he, the Lord who is with us, does not ever pass away, nor only last for a fleeting moment. Therefore, brothers and sisters in Christ, Bethlehem has come. All of you who are heavy laden, who are in doubt, whose world is falling apart, who is worried about what the next day is going to bring, come and see where this child lay. Come and see what the angels have been singing about and who the prophets have been speaking about for so long. Come and hear what this child has done for you, the salvation he has won for you, his people. Your peace is here, O Chapel of the Cross, for he who brought the kingdom of heaven to you has not taken it away. A bomb goes off in Paris, and the baby lays down his sweet head. More news is circulated about uncertainty and distrust in our nation's presidential candidates, and the Lord lies wrapped in swaddling clothes. We realized we have wronged someone or someone has wronged us, and the Lord says, I forgive you. Yes, brothers and sisters, this peace has a great deal of power, so much power, in fact, that on Christmas Day in 1914, the first year of World War I, the guns on the Western Front fell silent. German soldiers began to sing Christmas carols in Latin to the Allied trenches. And then the Allies put down their guns and joined back in with their bands. And after singing, O Come All Ye Faithful together, the German soldiers, unarmed, got out of their trenches onto no man's land. And they walked over to the Allies and met them. And the Allies came out of their trenches. And they began to not only sing Christmas carols, but they exchanged trinkets, shared cigarettes and family photos, and there were even records of small, friendly soccer games that took place between the two with makeshift soccer balls. It was a day called the Christmas Truce of 1914, where men sought the peace on earth that Christ came to offer, something so powerful which could even, for one day, put a halt to a brutal war which would claim the lives of millions. The people of Israel had lost hope in their God. Their understanding of the Messiah, how he would rebuild the temple and cast out the unrighteous from Jerusalem, would be realized, but in a much different way than expected. This Messiah came not only to bring a new hope to the house of David, but to also redeem those who did not know him. He would carry out his ministry to the lost and broken, to the zealots, the Essenes, and even the Romans, redeeming their brokenness. And his ultimate birth, death, and resurrection remains for you, you who feel trapped. The King is here, brothers and sisters. Let us go to Bethlehem and see him, for peace has indeed come to earth. Come, let us adore him, for he is Christ the Lord. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.